This week's Torah Way has been sponsored for the Schus of Yossi on his Bar Mitzvah. Yud Dalet Tammuz, 20th of July, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt. Do children have to keep mitzvahs?
Okay, Rabbi Sal, this morning I wanted to discuss with you a topic which, to be honest, I actually researched because, Baruch Hashem, I just had my son's bar mitzvah, and so it led me also to research the topic of if somebody is a child, a katan. You know, we know when people come to bar mitzvah, we can make a whole big deal. The fact that now bar chiyuva, are now obligated in mitzvahs, and it always bothered me. So you're telling me now they're chayav in mitzvahs, they're obligated. So what was beforehand? You know, what do we call children's mitzvahs and aveiros? What's the geder? What exactly is the definition of what they do? Do we say it's all practice? So everybody knows chinuch is derabbanon. I love that one. Chinuch is derabbanon. So chinuch, firstly, is on the father. Chayav's on the mother. But chinuch's on the father. The mitzvah of educating your children. Also bothered me. So what does that mean, it's derabbanon? That means from the Torah's perspective, do what you like. Whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do what you like. It's hefkeres, do whatever you want. And when you become a mitzvah, nunu, then you'll settle down and start keeping Torah mitzvahs. After all, you know, chinuch is only derabbanon, right? So let's talk from the Torah perspective. Is there an obligation? So that bothered me. More than that, let's make it a bit more apparent. Yeah, let's say if your kid asks his father, do I have to keep Shabbos this week? We know the father's going to say, of course I have to keep Shabbos this week. But let's say the kid's a little bit of a chokom. He's learned about, you know, mitzvahs and aveiros a little bit. He goes over to the rav of the shul. He says, I want to have a word with you. After shul, I want to have a word with you, he says. Okay. He says, yeah, what is it? He says, listen, forget my father. Father aside, I'm asking you, am I obligated to keep Shabbos this week? Do I have to keep Shabbos? It's a good question. It's a very good question. Does he have to keep Shabbos? Is he chayav? He's not chayav. So what's the Rav going to say? No, you don't have to. Shkar, thank you very much. That's the only time I wanted to hear. Off I go to the football. I mean, what is the pshat? It's taka a good question. What is the Rav supposed to answer to this child? Not mitzad the father, that's his obligation. Me. The 8-year-old, is there a difference in age? 7, 8, 9, 12-year-old. Do I have to keep Shabbos this week? Am I chayav? What's the Rav going to say? More than that, is it just practice? It doesn't sit well with us that it's just practice, it's not for real. On the other hand, he's not obligated. So what are you going to say? Right? Let's say the other side, the flip side. Never mind whether I have to keep Shabbos. What about the mitzvahs that he does? Is there any weight behind the mitzvah of a katan? Do we say, you know, it's very nice, shkayach, you're practicing, and it's good to practice now because then you'll be trained when you're an adult. But you know what the truth is, you know, all that hard work and everything you've been doing, it doesn't actually count for anything, you know. Sorry, you know, you see him davening a long shmoneh esrei, a child of 8 years old, he said, you know, shkayach, that was very good, very nice, good training. And Be'ez Hashem, when you're an adult, you'll do it for real. But now it's not for real. Again, that doesn't sit well with us. But on the other hand, he's not chayav. What about aveiros? Aveiros, you see it, you're on the plane, and you're sitting next to a child. Right? And they didn't order the meal that you quite thought. You know, and he doesn't realize it, this kid. He's on his own, you know, when they sort of chaperone you to a certain place, I think they have to take you through, but on the plane, you're on your own, basically. You know what I mean? The stewardess will come up and down to look after you during the flight, but he doesn't know better. They serve him a meal. He doesn't know what it is. He thinks this is kosher. He thinks every meal is kosher. He's on a, you know, he's not on a, it's not a kosher meal at all. And you see him eating treif? Are you mechuyev to stop him? Now, that sounds a funny question. I mean, what would everybody here? I know everybody here is going to say, you know, listen, maybe have a bit of my meal because the shrimp's not kosher. You know, like, here's what you're telling. Yeah, that's true. But mechuyev, are you obligated to? It's a very interesting shaila. Huh? It's not a poshut. What about, that's already a little bit more, we would all interrupt in that case. But let's say you're visiting somebody's house for Shabbos. Yeah? the parents are not in the room. The parents have gone off at Shabbos afternoon, you're sitting there, and the kids are playing, and they're playing with muktzah. No, they're playing with muktzah. Is it your business to get involved and say, Shabbos? Do you have to start, get up and say, no, Shabbos, throw stones? I mean, like, you know, what do you do? Do you tell them not to? Or do you say, listen, it's not my child. It's not my mitzvah of chinuch. If the parents were here, they'd have a mitzvah to educate them. It's not my mitzvah. They're playing with muktzah. What can we do? Now, clearly there might be a difference between age 4 or 5 and then maybe 11, 12. But am I mechayiv? These are all very, very big questions and actually quite difficult to answer. Not so simple. Because there's no obligation for a child to keep Torah mitzvahs. So what is it? It's all just like practice, it's not for real. These are good questions and certainly bothered me. And should bother all of us. So let's first have a look at a couple of Gemaras. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Daled, which of course spells kid. Easy way to remember it, right? Sometimes you like it when the Gemara does that. Just gives you a freebie. Easy to remember. Daf kid, Kuf Yud Daled. Good, Baruch Hashem. So on Daf Kuf Yud Daled, actually starts in Kuf Yud Gimel on the base at the bottom, but the whole Daf is about a kid, right? So then Gemara tells us the following story. Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna left the keys to the Beis HaMedrash in the Shus HaRabim, he left the keys there, and now it was Shabbos, and even nobody can get into the Beis HaMedrash. We forgot the keys in the Beis HaMedrash. What do we do? Stuck. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna went to ask Rabbi Pados. And Rabbi Pados told him, I've got an idea for you. Take some young children and get them to play in the area where the keys are, in the hope that one of them will say, hey, 1 minute, hey, isn't this the key to the Beis HaMedrash? Yeah, I think it is. Let's go off and open it up. So in the hope that somebody's going to realize, in other words, you didn't tell him what to do, you just got them to play in the area, and in the hope that maybe one of them will realize, pick it up, and might open up the Beis HaMedrash. That's the idea that he gave him. That's the idea. Now this leads in the Gemara to a whole discussion here. 1 second. What are you doing, kid? You're telling the children. Now, often people have this idea in their head that whenever you leave the light on Shabbos, don't worry, just hold the child there. You know, people go, just hold it there, play with this, you know, yeah. Okay. One has to be very careful, and we'll see in a minute, yeah? You can't be Madame and Milsa and Milsa. Not every case is exactly the same. Don't go out of thinking that it's okay if you hold the child up to the light and say, I wonder what that thing feels like. You know, why don't you have a go? Yeah, that's very different. That's for sure awesome. So here we have the children. He says, okay, go and play. Then the Gemara says, but how could you do this? Alma, we see, cotton oich and avelos, in basin mitzvim lafisha. The Gemara wants to say from here, that if you have a cotton eating treif, you're not obligated to stop him eating that treif. Because look, Rabbi Pados told them, get the children to play in that area. They might pick up the keys and go off to open the Beis HaMedrash. Obviously, we're not worried about children doing averus. Doesn't bother us. So therefore, if we were to translate this into a case of sitting next to somebody on the plane, that's the case of the Gemara. If a cotton is eating the velus and treifas, he's sitting there eating a ham sandwich. Right? Ain't based in Matzavin Afrishay. Now listen to the Lashon, by the way. Ain't based in Matzavin Afrishay. Interesting language. The based in is not obligated to prevent him. Interesting why it uses that expression. But we, let's call us, as it were, the based in. We're not obligated to step in there. You see him eating something treif. It's not my responsibility. I'm not the father. Finished. Again, the father for sure has his own mitzvah of chinuch. But if you're not the father, you're an onlooker. You see the kid eating something treif. It's not my business. And that's what we see from the story. However, the Gemara has a whole discussion back and forth, trying to bring raya's proofs either way. Is this true, that if you see a cotton eating something treif, you don't have to step in? And the Gemara, it sounds like yes, but it can't prove it completely. And then there's another stage of the Gemara. So again, stage number one is, the Gemara says, if you see a child doing an aveira, it seems like you don't have to step in. The Gemara can't prove it 100%. It seems like you don't have to step in. You see him eating treif, you don't have to step in. You see him playing with muktzah on Shabbos, I'm not the father, it's Pesei the Gomor, not my business. And then the Gemara then says at the end of that, Daf Kid, The Gemara says, but you should know, you're never allowed to give him treif into his hand. That's a separate issa. Gemara brings actually three different psukim. Gemara says, one is, lo soichlum, lo sa'achilum. You're not allowed to give a child a treif sandwich. That you can't. Or another pasuk the Gemara brings is from the beginning of Emor. Emor va'amarta, famously Rashi says, lahazik gedolim ha'katanim. That means if the we have to make sure, the adults have to make sure that the katanim, a child who's a kohen, is also keeping the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. So if you see a child who's a kohen on his way into a Beis HaKavaris, he's following a levaya, right? He doesn't know better. You say, no, you're a kohen, you shouldn't be going in there. Right? Hold on, actually, I have to say that carefully. I made a mistake. If you see him going in there, you're not obligated. But you cannot take him in there. You can't say, come on, we're going to the Beis HaKavaris. Levaya, you've got to come with me. You can't do that. You can't take him. But if he's going, you don't have to interrupt. You don't have to prevent him. Same with the sandwich. You can't give him the tray for sandwich. But if you see him eating a tray sandwich, leave him alone. And that's a little bit confusing. And we're going to try and explain that. But this is how we pass it in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, quote,
you should leave him alone or you may leave him alone?
You may. Good point. Yes.
Oh, should is
different. Yeah, 100%. Yes, 100%. You're certainly allowed to get involved and say you shouldn't do this. Definitely. But you're not obligated. You don't have to stop him. And the Shulchan Aruch says this. Shulchan Aruch says, in Siman Shimem Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos, Katan Oichel Neveilos, in Orachan, Katan Oichel Neveilos, Ein Based in Mitzvah Lafrisha. If a katan is eating treif, you are not, based is not chayiv, to not mitzvah to stop him. Avon aviv, if you're the father, for sure mitzvah ligo bo, you have to shout to him, lafrisho mi yisura, separate him from doing that which is wrong. That's halacha number one. Ula'achilo biyodayim, what about giving it to him, actually giving him the treif? That's osa. Osa, that you can't do. Afilu devorim sha'asuri midivei seifim, even things that are only derabbanan. Yeah? Even things that are muktzah. You can't give him the book to toy, okay? You wouldn't be allowed to give it to him, but you can't say, hey, play with that over there, play with it. It's okay, it's for you, it's okay, you're a child. You can't do that. That's called giving it to him. And then the Mishnah Berurah adds, by the way, you can't even allow a child to play with non-kosher food. It's something which is non-kosher food, I don't know, he's playing with some sort of, he thinks it's a toy. It's not kosher. You can't even have to play with it. He wasn't even intending to eat it. Why? Because he might come to eat it. So even if it's drop on, and even if he might, he's just playing with it, you can't give it to him. So we have a very difficult question, actually, that's arising here. On the one hand, if he's actually doing that which is forbidden, he's playing with a muktzah toy, or he's eating treif, or something like that, I'm not obligated, correct, as we said, I can, but I'm not obligated to get involved. And yet at the same time, I'm not allowed to give him the actual treif, or give him, or point in the right direction of the mukta. Why? That's very difficult to understand. Surely, if it's not allowed, then nothing should be allowed. You shouldn't be allowed to give it to him, and if he's doing it, you should tell him to stop. Because obviously he's part of mitzvah. Right? And if it's okay for him to play with the mukta toy, or to eat treif, if you haven't got a problem with that, so then why can't I give it to him? It seems like if he's okay with it, that means there's no problem. It's a difficult question. Really, in order to understand this, we have to know, what is, back to this question we asked at the beginning, are they obligated in Torah mitzvahs or not? Is it for real or is it not for real? It's very hard either way. If you tell me it's for real, it's not. They're not chayiv. And if you tell me then it's nothing, it doesn't sit with us. Because what do you mean nothing? What's it? It can be like a goy? Yeah, up to 13, do what you like, yeah, mamash, do whatever you want, yeah. And then bar mitzvah, everything. Mamash, got to keep everything from beginning to end. It just doesn't...
Any stranger, any obligation of chinuch?
So the obligation of chinuch is on the father, that's
yeah,
true.
But
let's say there's no father. He doesn't have a father, unfortunately. So you tell him, yeah, okay, now you can be... Hey, your father's not there, he's not watching it. Yeah. Hefkeres, do what you like. Don't have to worry about Shabbos, kashrus, anything else. Obviously, it's very difficult. Okay, yeah, the mother also might have an obligation, true. But from the child's point of view, what is it? It's child's play? is it nothing? So let's ask this Lomdish. Let's ask it as a Chakira, like this, okay? Listen carefully. Is the Pshat that when the Torah, Hashem is speaking, Hashem has in the mitzvah, in the Torah, all the Torah mitzvahs. Is the pshat that the Torah is just not speaking to children? It's not. Keep Shabbos, not speaking to children. Yeah. Eat matzah on Pesach, not speaking to children. Shake Arba Minyan, not speaking to children. The Torah is speaking to adults. Finished. If you're bad da'as, the Torah is speaking to you. If you're not bad da'as, the Torah is not speaking to you. Is that the pshat as to why a child's not obligated? Or is the pshat, no. The Torah is speaking to everybody. Men, women, children, every type of person you can think of. And I'm careful when I say that. A blind person, a shaita. There's different halachas here. There's lots of grades of mitzvahs here. We can't do all of them today, but there's a lot of interesting topics here. So yeah, the Torah is speaking to everybody, but there are certain peturim. Potter, there's a certain get-out clause, as it were, exemption for certain people. For example, we know that a woman is not chayav. She's potter from time-bound mitzvahs. So in a similar vein, although you'd have to be careful the way you say this, it could be that a child also is, he's shy of the Torah mitzvahs, but he's not obligated. He's not obligated. We would say like this, it's reshus, it's voluntary. If he does it, good, but he's not obligated. So I want to show you that it's going to be like the latter. But we also need to explain it as well. So if Moshe Feinstein, Igus Moshe, has numerous trivias on this fascinating topic. And one of them, he says slightly different things in slightly different chuvas. And then at the time, when I was reading the chuvas, I thought, you know what? So probably, I see the chuvas are written like 15, 20 years apart. So probably, you know, when he learned it again there, he learned it slightly differently. He said differently here. And in the stomach, he forgot what he said in the other thing. Well, not that he forgot. And then he said that, and now he's learning it differently. And so he said slightly different things in the chuvas. Then I realized in another chuva, he says, and according to what I said in the chuva this, then this, according to this, that, he didn't forget. But he had a different pshat. So I'll tell you what he says in Yerideh Chelek Aleph Simen Vav. Let's look it up there, it's interesting. Yerideh Chelek Aleph Simen Vav, and he goes, Moshe. When a child is born, he is, I have to be careful, the words I use, I've got to be careful. He is bound by all the mitzvahs. He is connected to all mitzvahs and all averus. Yeah? The only difference being that, even though he's bound by all the mitzvahs, he has a patur, an exemption. He doesn't have to. He's not obligated to actually perform the mitzvahs as a chiyuv. As a chiyuv. Why? Because he's not a bar das. The Torah doesn't expect of him a level which is beyond him. Now, one has to be very careful here. In other words, is he culpable in a court if he doesn't have aver? Yeah. Is he? No. Under 13, he's not a bar das. I'm sorry, he's not culpable at all. Yeah, never mind Einish, that's already a later age even. But I'm talking about even any Einish, I mean, Shamayim even. Nope. In fact, Rav Moshe has an unbelievable tshuva, which I know not everybody holds of. The Igus Moshe holds in another tshuva, he writes that if a child does an Aveira when he's younger and then he becomes bar mitzvah, he does not need to do tshuva for anything when he was a child. A chidush gomor, because, why? He didn't do anything wrong. He did Aveiros left, right and center. Nope. Not Aveiros. Big chiddush. Personally, I happened to have the opportunity of asking my Rebbe of Moshe Shapiro. I asked him this question. He didn't say what the Igus Moshe said. I said, you know, does a child have a chiyuv to do tshuva when he grows older? So he said, yes. Interesting language he said. You know why? He used Hebrew Lashon. He said, shelo hevin. He didn't understand. And I was very careful with what he said, because he's not a bad das, he's not expected to understand completely. But there was a certain level here of, your level, you should have understood something. And let's do tshuva on that. Okay. But so it's interesting. But nonetheless, with regards to mitzvahs, it's like this. When a child does a mitzvah, says Rav Moshe, the Igus Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, when a child does a mitzvah, it counts as a mitzvah. And in fact, not only does it count as a mitzvah, it's a full 100% mitzvah. You want to know, does his Shabbos count as a Shabbos? In Shemayim, what type of tick does he get? Does he get like, you know, okay, whatever, we'll give him a little bit. He gets 100% a proper Shabbos. You know why? Because he's connected to Shabbos. He's connected. He's Makabal Torah. All of Klal Yisrael Makabal Torah. We're all Makabal Torah. And even children, everybody's Chayiv in Torah. Chayiv, you have to be careful. Everybody's connected to the Torah. Everybody. He has a patur, he has an exemption. That means if he wants to, he does a mitzvah, he learns Torah, he davens, he keeps Shabbos, he's going to get tremendous chal. Tremendous. But is he obligated? No, he's not obligated. So, for example, Ramesh uses this, because Moshe uses this to answer a couple of points. Firstly, a child, it says, brought down halacha, a child can do shechita. Okay, health and safety might have to sort of be there to sort of oversee. There's a halacha that you need to have an adult overseeing it, besides the fact that it's for safety reasons. But if the child knows how to do shechita, he's trained, he knows, you know, he can do a proper shechita, as long as an adult is watching, because an adult provides the da'as, as long as he provides the das, the child can do shechita, it's a kosher shechita. Okay? We're not discussing whether you would want to get your child into shechita at that early age, that's not the point. It's kosher. Shulchan Aruch. Yet the halacha is a non-Jew cannot do shechita. Can't do. Even if an adult said a Jew is there, nope, a non-Jew cannot do shechita. Why not? He's not shayach to Torah mitzvahs. I'm sorry. He's not. He hasn't got a mitzvah of eating kosher, so therefore he can't be a shechit. So 1 minute, ask the Igus Maisha, I'll have one second. But no, as a child, right? A child also is not shayach to Torah mitzvahs, surely. He's also potter. He's also, even if you were to see him eating a ham sandwich, you would not be obligated to stop him. So 1 second, how come he can do shechita? Says Rav Maisha, no. It doesn't mean he might not be obligated, but he's certainly shayach, he's certainly connected to Torah mitzvahs, he's one of the Jewish people, he's not a goy, he's a yid. The child is a Jew. Ah, he's not obligated, that's another story. But if he's allowed to do the shechita, halacha lemaaseh, can do a shechita. Or, that's one understanding. Now, let's take this a little bit further and try and explain what is it that we need to understand. How come now, if a kid is shy to Torah mitzvahs, he's connected to Torah mitzvahs, so how come, I don't understand, if I see him eating a ham sandwich, I'm not the father, says the Shulchan Aruch, I am not obligated to stop him, but I can't give him the ham sandwich in his hand. Well, what's the difference? Huh? So it could be Arvus, but that's a little bit more delicate territory, it could be. But I want to say something which is, because if you start saying Arvus, then one enters into a little bit of a machlekes with regards to even whether women are chayav in Arvus, and we know we certainly have a chiv to stop them if they're doing an Aveira. So, I want to say like this, and this is based on the Shi'urei Das of Elion Meir Bloch. So, let's say like this, there are two aspects to every mitzvah, two aspects, and an Aveira. One is what we call the Maisa Mitzvah. There's an action called shaking of a luluf. Or you ate matzah. Is that a good act? It's a wonderful act. It's a Maisa Mitzvah. Then there's the other aspect of every mitzvah, which is the command from Hashem. Not only are you doing something which is a good thing, but Hashem has commanded you. You are fulfilling a tzivui, a command from Hashem. Yeah? There are two aspects, and so it's with an Aveiro. And the person does an Aveiro. He's doing a bad thing. He spoke Lashon Hara, it's a bad thing. It's a terrible thing to do. That's one. And the other bad thing about an Aveiro is, you went against the command of Hashem. Hashem told you not to. Two aspects. Says the Shi'urei Das, of Elion Meir Bloch, he explains it in the following mashal. He says, the world out there can be compared, Torah mitzvahs can be compared either to a doctor, doctor's orders, or the king's orders. What's the difference between doctor's orders and the king's orders? It's a famous Hakira mitzvah. What's the difference? When the doctor tells you what to eat and what not to eat, he understands your condition. He says, look, with your condition, you've got to be careful. You can have this food, but you better avoid that food. This is okay, but this is not going to be good for you. He tells you exactly what that means, that the world, he explains to you about the world what's good and what's not good for you. What's that? How does that apply to Torah mitzvahs? That Hashem says to us, listen, you're a Jewish neshama. For a Jew to eat a ham sandwich, it's not good for you, okay? Don't eat that. Don't eat that. Yes, you can eat that. Don't have that. Yes, you can do this. Lashon Hara, that's not good for you. Learning Torah, that's good for you. So Hashem will point out what it is in the world. That's one way of understanding Torah mitzvahs. The other is the king's orders. The king says so, we do it. King says so. What's the difference between doctor's orders and the king's orders? What's the difference? A couple of differences, says Rav Elion Meir Bloch. Firstly, the first is that when the doctor orders something, so sometimes you might be able to have something that's not good for you because you have to have it. He'll prescribe a certain medicine. It might be there's a side effect, but what can you do? You need to take the medicine for other good reasons, right? So he says, actually, very interesting, that Klal Yisrael, before we got the Torah, were only keeping the Torah. The Avos only kept the Torah as the doctor's orders. The doctor's orders, that means that the Ovis knew what was good for the Jewish neshama, or for a refined neshama. They knew that eating matzah and pesach was good for them. They knew that eating treif was not good for them. That keeping mitzvahs was good for them. They knew, but they knew it as doctor's orders. Says the Rebbe Meir Bloch, that's why Yaakov could marry two wives. How come? Because Yaakov knew in this particular situation that it required having a certain medicine. Either as a side effect, you're not supposed to have it because it's not normally good for you. Yeah, but in this situation, it was better that he was allowed to have it because he understood that he should marry these two sisters. That would all be true before Matan Torah. But says Rebbe Eliyahu Meir Bloch, but after Matan Torah, you would never be able to say such a thing. You can't say, well, I think now I should marry two sisters. Now we also have the king's orders. And the king has said, no, you can't marry two sisters. It doesn't matter all the benefits in the world. Nope, sorry. What happened at Matan Torah is we have both aspects of Torah mitzvahs now. Before Matan Torah, it was just as the doctor's orders. This is healthy, that's not healthy. After Matan Torah, there's the added factor now of the king's orders. We follow the command. And these are the two aspects of every mitzvah. Every mitzvah has the, is it good for you or not? This thing, is it good? Is the ham sandwich good for you? One thing. That's the doctor's orders. On the other hand, there's the other thing as well, but the king has told you not to. There's a tzivui from Hashem. Says Rav Eliyahu Meir Bloch, with regards to a child, they have the doctor's orders, but they don't have the king's orders. What does that mean? That means, for a child to speak Lashon Hara, is it a good thing to do? It's a bad thing. It's not good for you. It's not good. It pollutes the world. It's not a good thing. Are you going to be held responsible? You don't have a tzivui. You've not been commanded. You have an exemption. So if you do the Aveira of Lashon Hara, you might have broken the doctor's orders, and you did a bad act, but you didn't actually break the king's orders because you were never commanded. So you have a good or a bad act, depending on the mitzvah, Aveira, without the command. Without the command. It's what we call, so you have mitzvah v'oisa, someone's commanded and he does it, and you can have somebody who's not mitzvah, but you can also be oisa. And therefore, back to our questions, because we have to wrap up. Back to our questions. The child says, ask the Rav, listen, leave my father aside, he says, what about me? Do I have to keep Shabbos this week? So the Rav will say, of course you have to keep Shabbos, because keeping Shabbos is a good act. Is he mitzvah? Is he commanded? Is he obligated to keep Shabbos? No, he's not. He's not chayiv. He's not chayiv to keep Shabbos, but he should be keeping Shabbos if he knows what's good for him. And if he breaks Shabbos, it's not good for him. And if he's eating a ham sandwich, it's not good for him. But is he obligated? Ah, so this is now where we get the difference. If you see him eating a ham sandwich, right? Me, the outsider, the onlooker, I'm not obligated to step in because my obligation is to make sure that nobody's breaking the king's orders. That's what our obligation for each other is. We have to make sure that nobody's breaking the king's orders. The child, if he's eating something which is treif, he's not breaking the king's orders. I'm not obligated, and I say again the word obligated, I'm not chayev to stop him. But I certainly cannot give it to him in his hand, because if I give it to him, I'm causing harm. I'm doing a bad thing to the child. If I give him treif, it's a bad thing.
Yeah. What do you mean with the pasuk v'shinamtum levonecha, though? You seem to be ignoring it.
100%, no question about it. In terms of chinuch, what is a Jew supposed to do? You have to teach him to keep the Torah mitzvahs. No question about it.
Not just the father, the whole kehillah, this mitzvah for
you. It's just a question. No, no, no. No, the mitzvah of chinuch is every parent has to take care. Of course, we want to take care of all our children, etc. And everybody in Kalisol, that's no question about it. But we're asking in terms of obligation. Obligation, if I see, do I have to run over and stop a child doing an issa? So if he's playing with a mukta toy, I'm not obligated. It would be very nice of me, and it would be correct of me to do so. It would be correct. But I'm not obligated. And the reason is because my obligation boils down to, is anybody breaking the king's orders? A child is a child at the end of the day. Right? And everyone has to know, by the way, this is very important. Because sometimes it is important, and you have to be careful how I say this, sometimes with a child, you should overlook certain things. Right? Because he's only a child at the end of the day. Right? But certainly for me to make him do the issa biyodayim, that I'm not allowed to do. Again, so we have different stages. The father, absolutely obligated to teach his child everything. If he needs to do anything, he must stop him. If he's at the other end of the room, he must run over and stop him. He mustn't do it. Sure, for sure. If you're not the father, your obligation is only with regards to people who are breaking the king's orders. If it's simply he's breaking the doctor's orders, i.e. that he's doing something which is not good for him, so therefore it would be nice of me to stop him, it would be correct of me to stop him, but I'm not obligated. And that is the difference. So therefore, a child is, it's correct for him to do mitzvahs, it is wrong for him to do averus, it pollutes the world if he does averus. And by the way, mitzvahs are so chaviv. We see, if a child davens or learns Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is so chaviv. It's so beloved. For sure, no question about it. My obligation, though, to him, that's a different story. My obligation is only if he's breaking the king's orders. So they never told the child, no, never told the child. Then the Gemara, he said, let the children play there. Let the children play there. That, that, no, you never have to tell them. Just let, if they come up with an own accord. Anyway, Marvin, I don't know how he's going to come up with it. How's the child supposed to know this is the key that makes the merchant bring it in? But anyway, there's lots more to discuss. This is just a little bit of scratching the surface.